you guys today. Just to continue to connect in this concept we looked at last week, but what we saw last week is the thrust and the heart and the issue in these churches that is very contextually speaking, okay, meaning it's very specific for the churches in Galatia. They were facing the problem of Judaism and the front loading of all of their mindset tied to the works of the law, circumcision. And I just want to say today that sometimes Galatians can be misconstrued to only be about works versus grace. Okay. Okay, I don't want to get too deep in this, but it's more than that. I really believe that even in the church of Galatian, the churches of Galatia, they wanted to please God. They wanted to do the right thing. And even the Judaizers want to do the right thing. They want to please God. Everyone wants to please God. But their issue was, how do you please God? By living in works, by living in all these things that you need to do, circumcision, eating the right foods, all of that, is that the way to please God? Or is the way to please God the way of the Spirit? Walking in the Holy Spirit. That is the main issues of Galatians. And I'll tell you where this really links to us, and we're not going to go through chapter 5. If you've been doing your devotions, you're already reading through it, but if you look at chapter 5 and what he talks about walking in the Spirit, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit are these things. I don't believe that those fruit that are listed are the only fruit of the Spirit. There is so much fruit of the Spirit not listed there. I think that was specific for the churches in Galatia. But the point is that even our church today, us as brothers and sisters, how are you trying to please God? By all the things that you do, that you're telling yourself, I need to do these things? Or is it by a life that is lived in the Spirit of God? And I know that for some of us right now, this is raising big questions. What does it mean to live in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Holy Spirit? And at least in this letter, and even what we looked at briefly last week, Paul's phrase of his rhetorical question saying, if you started by the Spirit, meaning it was a Spirit that got you going, then we should be perfected by the Spirit and not the flesh. That means we need to continue to grow only by walking in the Holy Spirit. Walking with the Spirit and not by flesh. And so when we look at Galatians 5, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that is born of the Holy Spirit is what? Love. You guys remember? Anybody? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? These things, when we think about it, I've shared for myself, there have been many times that because my will is so strong, my own determination is so strong, that throughout my Christian life, I have thought that some of my changes in my life are coming about because of God. But as I look back, I can see that my will is so strong that I was producing these fruits of the Spirit. I can do that. Just as non-Christians, people who do not have the Spirit,
We know some non-Christians that have what appears to be these fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? In fact, I've known throughout my Christian life Christians who seem to have more of these fruit than I do. That's kind of a shame. But it's not, is it? The shame is when I try to produce my own gentleness. Now, if any of you know me from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know for a fact that that is not my fruit. That's not my cup of tea. I don't have much gentleness. I have done things like written up the word gentleness on my mirror. In my office or in my office. Mirror closets, and I write notes on them, and I'm like borderline crazy. I'm like writing prayer requests and things like that on there, and I write gentleness, need to grow in gentleness, need to have more gentleness. And you know what? I can do that. I can make my own gentleness. I can make my own level of patience. I can make my own level of goodness and self-control. But the fruit that I make then is not the fruit of the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? And so I just want to encourage us, the concept, I hope that we'll talk more about this. We've talked about walking in the Spirit before, but I hope that we'll have more time in the future to talk about this topic and living a life in the Spirit. For Paul, this was what he was so angry about. That they became people of the flesh and people of the works of the law. Instead of the law of Christ, is what he called it, and the Spirit. The law of Christ and the Spirit. Okay? All right, so I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to talk about that because I think what I do want to talk about today is this Passion Week. And I do know that we as a church have not, we don't talk about this very often. Someone mentioned to me last year that the only place that they heard about this at the church was in this Sunday school. I don't even know how you say it in Chinese. I don't even know the word. Is there a word for Passion Week in Chinese? I don't even know. Because Good Friday is called Sonan Qie, right? But Sonan, that sounds like, what does that mean, Sonan? Is that good? Suffer. Oh, suffering, okay. Okay, because Good Friday is called good. In Chinese, it's called Suffering Friday, which is true too. It's both good and it's suffering, because it is the suffering of Christ. Passion captures a different concept. What I would like you to do for a moment is talk in your group and ask each other, see if you could answer the question, what is Passion Week? What is Passion Week? I mean, I have some of the words up here, but you know, what is Passion Week? Talk about it in your group and see what you guys know, and what do people do? What are practices that you know of around the world or in Christianity or whatever? Talk about that for a moment, okay, will you? Give you guys just like 3-4 minutes, okay? Talk about it in your group. What is Passion Week? Okay, so could be pretty easy. What do you guys think right here? Anybody here? What is Passion Week?
It was pretty much the words you had on there.
Okay, the words that we had on here, okay, remembering. What about you guys back there?
Agree with what they said.
Okay. Preston always disagrees. Ditto. How about in the back there?
All the events are leading up to Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection.
Okay. All the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Okay. From his birth. Passion Week. The events from his birth?
No.
Because you said all the events. The events of what?
From Palm Sunday on.
Okay, from Palm Sunday on. Okay, good. Thank you for the clarification. Anything else? What do people do? I mean, we don't seem to do too much around it. We started to implement a Good Friday a few years ago. What do we do? What do we do as a church, or what do we not do? And we know that other people around, you know, Christianity do stuff around Palm Sunday and stuff like that. I mean, I know of churches that literally palms come out on Palm Sunday. It's a big celebration. Palms are laid out. Kids come in to sing a song holding little palm fronds in their hand, right? Hey, you know, we're celebrating Palm Sunday. We're kicking off Passion Week. I know we don't do that. What do people do? Did you guys talk about that in your groups?
Yeah.
Susie.
Well, I didn't share this in our group. But we're used to don't wait all fasted as a church.
You fasted as a church for 40 days. And did anyone die?
No, we fasted the Daniel fast.
Okay, you fasted the Daniel fast.
For 40 days, and we did a devotional altogether based on...
So the Daniel fast is no meat sacrificed to idols. So
no
basically
sugar,
we could eat anything.
No sugar,
oh, okay.
No caffeine.
No sugar, no caffeine. The Mormon fast. I mean the Daniel fast. Okay. And so you did that as a church for 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday, right?
With a devotional.
With a devotional. Great, cool. Susie did that at her church before. How was that experience?
It was good.
It was good.
Very good.
Very good.
Very hard, but very good.
Very hard, but very good. No sugar.
No sugar, no caffeine.
No caffeine.
No meat.
No meat. Okay. They could eat a lot of bread?
No, but that has like something else in it. It has
okay.
Sugar.
Sugar, yeah, that's right. So it's like a vegetable diet. That's the Daniel diet. Okay. All right. What else do churches do? So we're not really familiar with what churches do around Easter, right? You guys are not too familiar?
I know what our church did and no longer do.
Oh, what did our church used to do?
Our church has someone
Easter
brought
eggs.
Up doing Easter hun.
Yeah.
Easter egg hunt and all that.
Okay.
And we thought, no.
Okay. Okay, so we used to have Easter egg hunts, but we don't do them anymore because they're sinful. Eggs have sin in them, so we can't. Well, we no longer do Easter egg hunts. Okay, what do other churches do around this time? Okay, so if I okay.
Sunrise.
Sometimes you have a sunrise service. I will tell you that when I was first clear about what Jesus has done for me, it was our youth group leaders. I was a junior. Took all of the English youth to a sunrise service. I think it was Calvary Chapels or what's that guy? That guy who does Harvest Crusade, what's his name?
Greg
Laurie's like sunrise Easter service, which many places are kicking off next Sunday. But that was also because our church didn't meet until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Back when we were on South Baker. So all the youth, college, young adults went to an Easter, it's called a sunrise service. So we would go there and it's still dark, right? You're there. We were at like some stadium at like, you know, 4 in the morning. And then the music begins when the sun begins to rise and just worshiping God through music and then preach the sermon. And I remember that day after our church's service, because we had two, you know, then I celebrated two Easters. I remember sitting home in the afternoon, and that was the first time that I wept because I realized what Jesus had done for me. And it was just a whole day being soaking in the message of Jesus, and it hit me when I was a junior in high school, like so big, so big. Okay, so sunrise services. Some churches do sunrise services. Our house that we bought from the church right next door to us, the backyard used to be used for their sunrise service. So they used to, like, if you've ever been to my house, if you open up the patio door to the backyard, there is there's kind of like a concrete walkway, and there's like these wrought iron bars That wrought iron bars used to be where the pastor would stand to deliver, you know, the music, you know, everything used to be up there. That, like, the backyard of our house used to be where the church would walk over and do a sunrise service. I thought, that was cool. Man, our house is blessed. Right? Okay, so what other things do churches do? Anything else? Okay, well, nothing else? You guys never heard of any other thing, words around surrounding Easter?
In Mexico?
They, like, eat enchiladas. Yes. Okay, so there are certain Christian sects, okay, S-E-C-T-S, that would mar themselves the week of Passion Week, start to cut themselves as Jesus would, whether it's in Mexico. I've seen that in Southeast Asia, you know, like, you know, people would do that, and they would crucify themselves. Not to death, but they would be like a bloody mess and hang themselves on crosses to try to remember Jesus and what he had done. Anything else?
The Catholics have Lent.
Okay, Catholics have Lent.
Abstain from any,
anybody heard of Lent before? Yeah? Okay. So Catholics, do you guys know any Protestants, Christians who celebrate Lent? I think the church right next door to us, which is one of the largest churches in Upland, mainline evangelical, so, you know, Bible believing just like us, the way we are, I think they celebrated Lent. My daughter was telling me, oh, Dad, what is Lent? My daughter was asking, what is Lent? Because one of her best friends at that church, one of the pastor's daughters, is abstaining and celebrating Lent. So she's like, what is Lent? Great question. What is Lent? Okay. All right. So what is Passion Week? What is Passion Week? I think we all know that. But I would say what I wrote down here, something I mentioned to the youth group last night. Believe it or not, I heard from some people at our church, like, they're kind of like, what's the big deal about Easter? Their sense was like, you know, it's just remembering Jesus' resurrection, right? And I'm like, I don't know. For me, I don't know about you, but for me, without Easter, none of this exists. If we don't have Easter, we don't get saved. If we don't have Easter, there is no church. Easter is a big deal for me. It is big. And so I just want us to understand that. If we don't take Easter, like, seriously in some shape or form, at least once a year to truly soak ourselves in the remembrance of Christ, which, by the way, we should do fairly often, quite often, in fact. Right? But if we don't kind of make this movement as a church, is it commanded in Scripture? Is Easter commanded in Scripture? Is it commanded in Scripture? Huh? Is it not? Is it not? Well, what? The Lord's Supper, the remembrance of Christ, all the time. Easter this weekend is not commanded in Scripture, not the dates. Not the way it's set. I never even know how Easter is set anyways. It's so confusing. And now as a pastor scheduling stuff, I'm like, where is Easter falling this year? Why is it so messed up? We try to get another baptism on it. We just can't. It's just like Easter's popping around all over the place. But that's not commanded in Scripture, but the command to remember Christ and all that he has done as often as we are together. We should be remembering that, right? Okay, so this is a big deal. What is Passion Week? Passion Week is also called Holy Week. And it is, as Scott said in the back, it's a time from Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday. In fact, there's all these different names for the days in between there, right? You have, God, what is it? Maundy Monday. And you have like Ash Wednesday. And you have something Thursday. And then you have Good
Friday.
TGI Friday. Then you have Good Friday, right? You have all these things. There's even one for Saturday. Do you guys know the names? I mean, you could find it online. I mean, there's people have a day for, like a name for each of the days. But Passion Week is the picture, this is the best way I could put it, is the picture of the passion. That's why, I don't know, I guess I use that in English. It's harder to say in Chinese, but how do you say passion in Chinese? But it shows the passion with which Jesus willingly went to the cross in order to pay for the sins of his people. Okay? So this is the events. I think we kind of have a rough gist of that. I think we know that.
Isn't it Passover?
No, it's Thursday.
Thursday.
That's why it's Maundy Thursday. It's actually
Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday. I was going to say Maundy Thursday, which is Passover Thursday. Maundy. Because remember, when we start reading in the scripture, and they say 2 days before the Passover, Jesus had, right? So that's actually before the Jerusalem was swelling at this time of Jesus' death. Why? Because of the Passover feast. Okay? So where Jerusalem probably would have normally been, oh man, I'm going to guess the number is about 40,000 people large. Okay? It's probably 10 times that amount during the Passover feast and celebration. Okay? But what you would have is, we see the triumphal entry. Jesus, who enters into Jerusalem on a what? On a donkey, on a colt, right? We'll see him coming in. And remember, this is very significant because if you've heard me talk before about when we look at the Gospels, there is this section called the travel narrative. And that is when Jesus, who did his work up in Galilee, begins to make the trek down towards Jerusalem. And remember, there's scripture in the Gospels that says Jesus, what? Set his face to Jerusalem. He set his face like flint, like unmovable, like he's setting his face to Jerusalem. And that's when you know Jesus knows he's going into this week, because this week begins the events, as Scott has said, leading up to his ultimate death. He set his face. He had to be resolute. He had to make a firm decision and commitment to say, I got to get to Jerusalem now. I'm on my way, step by step. And when I've preached and taught through this before, I've used this concept of like Jesus' face is set to go to his death while the disciples behind him are like arguing about who's the greatest. Right? You see that picture of like they still don't get it. They're like, we're going to be so great. We're going to sit on the right hand of God. And he's setting his face to go all the way. Right? He knows what he's doing. So you see each day, you see some of the events leading to what Peter just said, the Last Supper, and then you see the crucifixion on Friday. And that's why we, as a church, we do have Good Friday, where we can come together to really soak that in and celebrate that, and through music and prayer and reading reflection, and sometimes we've preached like a very short sermon just on this topic to help us soak that in. Okay. Where can I read through the Passion Week? Well, you know, if you want to take a picture of this, like these are the sections that we could look at. Okay. I want you to turn your Bibles. I want you guys to get into some groups. Okay. And these are the sections, beginning with the triumphal entry on these chapters here. That's Jesus coming in. Today, for the sake of time, I'm going to do just a tiny little project and look at you know what? Let's skip the project. You guys can read it on home. I'm just all about skipping stuff today. But each of these readings help us to remember Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. You know what? What I wanted to show you, though, is if we read in groups, what are some of the powerful events that occurred during this week? Think about what happened in that last week, even just from memory. Do you guys have anything from memory? Can we just maybe take... I noticed I got some feedback that some of you guys don't like these like group things as much. You know what the lowest rating on the survey was? You know what the lowest survey rating was? Consistently. Anybody have a guess?
Who are we choosing from?
No. Anything on the survey that's the lowest. Is that a question to me?
I'm just interpreting, like, because there was a range of, like, 1 through 5. Or
15. Oh, yeah. 1 through 5. No. What was the lowest, like, topic that got the lowest rating consistently by everybody? Take a guess. Huh? Say it.
Discussion.
Not discussion, but participation and engagement of other students. So everybody was pointing at other people, saying, I think this class is very low in its participation and engagement. Everybody was saying, of other students. Like literally, because it says other students. So maybe you're assuming yourself as participatory and engaged, but everybody else is not. Okay, so I'm going to keep bringing that up, by the way, because that's the only part of the survey that criticizes you guys and not me. So there's plenty of criticism on me. That was good. I appreciate that. So I think for you guys, right now, get into your... Well, forget it, because you guys don't like that. What are some of the things you can remember? Well, here's some of the things that I can remember. All right? I remember this is where Judas Iscariot schemes with the religious authorities for Jesus' capture. This is where Judas betrays Jesus. I preached on that to the youth last night. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. I don't know if I'd stretch that, but this is where Jesus instituted Easter. Okay. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point of being overwhelmed with sorrow. That's why, like, this stuff, Jesus, you know, this is where Jesus was flogged and crucified and ultimately taken off the cross, where he breathed his last. All this stuff is during Passion Week. And, of course, Jesus' resurrection. But, there's no need to write that down. What I wanted you to do is be sure. We're just not at that place, guys, where we've influenced the whole church to do this. Okay? It's if you've been in this Sunday school class for the last 3-4 years, I encourage it every year. The youth group, I try to encourage that in there, but nowhere as much as this particular class. And I strongly, highly encourage you. What's really cool is that in our devotionals, in our devotional book, right? They have a Passion Week reading in there. So just starting, so today we are done with Galatians, and tomorrow you start reading the events that lead up to Jesus' death and resurrection, okay? If you don't have that, you can ask me, because I can send you an email. I put together a whole email of the events and what your short reading is for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, or ask somebody, and even me, I'm willing to scan you, like I'll take the time to scan this for you if you really endeavor to spend this week with God. If you're really lazy, dude, Bible Gateway has some cool audio readings of this week, okay? So if you're just like, I'm not a good reader, that's okay. There's plenty. Most of the world that we are trying to reach for Christ is illiterate, and that's why great organizations, they're putting the Bible on Audible version. And you illustrators out there, you who love to draw, don't exclude yourself from missions work, because that's another platform. People drawing the Bible out in illustration, in graphic novel version, in different languages. Like, that's big. To be an illustrator, to be able to illustrate the Bible for people to see in comic version, in a graphic version, without the ability to read, but somehow they got to be able to see how the events of the Bible are coming through, right? So if you want to listen, it's available for you. I even looked up if you have the U version on your phone. I took a picture of this yesterday at 5:09 p.m., right? And Tim Keller has a 9-day devotional plan. You know, if you want to start that plan, I checked it out. You know, my other buddy, and he's not my buddy, but I really like him, Tony Evans, like this guy's super cerebral. This guy's like totally, I think, in my opinion, one of the strongest preachers out there. But the cross and Easter, he does a devotional series. And so feel free to go onto these things, and they're going to write little devotionals to help you process through the week, right? I mean, there's so many ways to get into Passion Week. Any questions? So I want to encourage you guys to do that. Okay? I won't ask for a show of hands because I won't do that. What is Lent? What do you guys know about Lent? Okay. Brother Scott mentioned a little bit. How many of you have heard of Lent before? Raise your hand. Yeah? Okay, so everybody's heard of Lent. Scott introduced it as a Catholic's practice Lent. Okay? Lent is a period of fasting, moderation, self-denial, traditionally observed by Catholics, but also by some Protestant denominations, specifically Lutherans. If you guys, you know, so Lutherans, Methodists, Anglicans, like, and then non-Protestant, like Eastern Orthodox. Like there's a lot of people throughout the world practice Lent. Okay, Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. We talked about that day. That's the middle of the Passion Week. That's Wednesday, and ends with Easter Sunday. The length of the Lenten fast was established. It's about 46 days, but you don't fast on Sundays. So how many weeks is it usually? Okay, so anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. Some people include not fasting on Saturdays and Sundays, so then it could be 8 weeks long, right? But it's a 46-day, and 40 days not including Sundays or Saturdays, okay? Ash Wednesday is something that you guys have seen. Have you guys ever seen people with the ash on their, the ashen cross on their forehead? Right? They will say things like the pastor or the priest, traditionally, you would go up and they would mark the cross on your head, saying like, Jesus came and died, or they would say something like, from dust you came and to dust you'll return. And they'll say like a little phrase like that as they mark the cross on your head. But it finds its roots in a lot of different areas in the scriptures. You can see different places where in the Old Testament, over and over again, when people were in a period of praying and repentance, they would put on sackcloth, and they would cover themselves with ashes. Okay. And I think it was symbolic. I think it was symbolic of repenting. It was symbolic of mourning, but you're mourning over yourself. Okay? You're mourning over where you are with God. You're reflecting, you're praying. When Mordecai learned all that he had done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out in the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Mourning. O daughter, and Jeremiah says, of my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes, make mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. And Daniel, then I turn my face to the Lord God, seeking God in prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You see this, okay? So is that so there's some grounding, these people believe, in the ashness of Wednesday. Okay. It's not a bad concept. Because do we need time occasionally in our life to mourn over where we are with God, to plead with God for mercy, to look to God and say, I need to repent. Something bad is happening in my life, and the bad thing that's happening is I'm not close to you. You guys with me? In Lent, many Catholics, Christians, they commit to fasting, or fasting in the Old Testament in the past has always been associated with food. As Susie said, her church practiced 40-day fasts leading up to Easter Sunday, the Daniel fast. Okay. But today, it's oftentimes giving up certain luxuries in order to replicate a sacrifice. It's giving up something. It's giving up something. They tie the 40 days of Lent oftentimes to 40-day Christ's desert period of 40 days. And they call this the Lenten sacrifice, right? 40 days is a significant day throughout the Bible. But these sacrifices include eating less or giving up a particular food or even habit. For example, people have, I even know, like you know people, I've heard people giving up smoking. Like they are smokers, but they're going to give up smoking during Lent. That, by the way, if you've ever smoked, because I know all of you have, okay, been addicted to smoking, okay, that's almost nearly impossible. If you actually stop smoking for a 40-day period, you are probably nearly able to quit at that point in time, okay? To even do this is, okay, to give up watching TV or movies or even eating candy. I remember my friends in high school celebrating Lent. They were growing out their little, you know, puberty beards, not shaving. We're not going to shave for Lent. And it looked terrible. It's like these little soft, fuzzy things. And they're like, oh, we're not going to eat Snickers bars. Okay, I get it. That's cool. And it's not uncommon for many people to refrain from eating meat or bloody foods on all Fridays. Okay, so it began with fasting from food, but it's fasting from any activity for the purpose of spending more time in prayer, Bible study, and reading devotional material, like Susie said that their church did, to prepare your heart for remembering the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. My point is going to be this. Do we celebrate Lent at this church? No, we do not. Is the concept helpful? Yes. I remember Peter and Nancy joining a after-church program. Sounds like after-school program. After-church program at another church in Anaheim, right? Fullerton. And they joined their Discipleship 101 class. And I remember vividly the way Peter was telling me, dude, we had a fast for how long? From media.
6 weeks.
6 weeks from social media, right? Movies, TV, and not food. Just those, because Peter would be like, I'm out. Like, Peter's like, I can handle this one, media. All right, okay, but... I remember it's burned in my mind that Peter has said, dude, we experience God. Like when you've taken out, you fasted from social media and all TV and all movies and all secular music for 6 weeks, the way he said he was tuned in to God. And you know what? Prior to him saying that, I've never done that. I've never fasted from, but I've tried that since then. And it is good. And it makes me wonder, why don't we do that more? You want to get closer to God? You want to get more in tune to God? That ought to be a norm. Why wouldn't we do that if it's a good thing that helps us draw near to God? So we don't have to celebrate Lent. But you can practice Lent anytime. If you want to practice Lent this week, for me, I've been praying about that. Not Lent, but I'm praying about, God, what is one thing that I'm going to a lot that I want to remove from this week so that every time I think about it, because that is what fasting from food is, every time I think about eating, I'm going to put my mind to Christ. Every time I think about watching this series, this episode on Netflix, or every time I'm going to check my social media, I'm going to not do that. I'm going to refrain from that. I'm going to fast from that. I'm going to put my mind on Christ. And I wonder if that will help you this week. Right? So this is a challenge for you. Is fasting biblical? Is Lent biblical? Well, Scripture doesn't command us to observe Lent. The Bible doesn't even command us to fast. But we see fasting. And Jesus talks about fasting. And notice when Jesus talks about fasting, he says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He actually says when you fast. Because you will, as a believer, you will fast. When you fast, do it this way. For me, I'm a little bit wonky with Lent. I feel Lent is a little bit wonky. Because it becomes such a public display. Like everyone's telling each other, oh, I'm not eating Snickers. Oh, I'm growing on my fuzzy beard. Or I'm not gonna watch social media. I'm not eating shrimp for the next, week. I can't wait to eat. I've been fasting. I can't wait to eat that Snickers bar on Sunday because I gotta break my fast. And people are talking about it with each other. And then you're putting the ash on yourself, so you walk around all day at work or at school with an ashen cross. But when Jesus says fasting, look at what he says. And when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fast may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, meaning that's how they clean themselves. Wash your face. Okay. No ashes. Wash it. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And I believe that the spiritual benefits are immense. Okay? Fasting is a good thing. It's beneficial. It's not commanded. But it is a good thing. And people do it before they're making big decisions. People do it to mourn over their relationship with God. I might encourage you, if you would like to fast from something, pray about it. Think about it today during the worship service. Make a decision. Don't do it to lose weight, okay? Okay? I do this thing called intermittent fasting, but it's actually just not eating breakfast, okay? And I don't do it to... I didn't start it to say, every time I think about eating McMuffin that I pray. No, I just said, it seems like a good thing to do for my health. I don't even call it intermittent, I just don't eat breakfast anymore. And I stop eating at 8 o'clock at night, okay? That's just what I do. But when you fast, don't make it about your diet. Don't make it about, Christ, right? Don't make it about a show. You don't need to tell people. Make it for yourself and God, because you're going to get that secret blessing. Okay? So I hope this has encouraged you. I promise in the future I'm not going to go over time, because that was one comment from someone in here. Like, I am a very stickler for time myself, so I hate that I have allowed myself to go over. All right? God be with you. Lord, bless our day together with you. Help us to know when and how we might make this week meaningful, so we soak in all that Jesus means to us, not only for what he has done, but because of what he's done, that we enjoy you today. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.